From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. Recent gun violence in the city of Peoria has many voicing concern, if not a little on edge. A double homicide last week that included the death of Keamber Beard, who was pregnant, was accompanied by several people with gunshot wounds, including a pizza delivery guy. And Beard's cousin was shot to death in the front yard of her mother's house during a family gathering in her honor. Police have made at least two arrests, but are also targeting more patrols in the general areas impacted by the violence. Peoria Police Chief Steve Settingsguard and Captain Mike Edelman met with reporters yesterday to talk through some of the response efforts. We're using the press interview for this Outside the Horseshoe. Those in the press meeting included WEEK HOI reporter-videographer team Alyssa Donovan and Doug Smith, WMBD-TV reporter-videographer team Alexandra Suter and Scott Probst, Peoria Journal-Star reporter Matt Budell, and 1470 WMBD Radio's Ed Hammond. Chief Settingsguard started the interview defining the circumstances of the recent violence.
I think it's fair to say there are gang members involved in quite a bit of this, and I hate to say it's not gang related. It's just hard to quantify that sometimes. You know, even the author Don't Shoot says that a lot of the gang activity is not really about the gangs. It's about beefs and you know, minor altercations and disagreements that become violence. And I think that's what we're dealing with here. We certainly have a number of gang members involved in many of these incidents, so we're not shocked by that by their involvement. And I think it certainly contributes with the willingness to pull a gun and pull a trigger.
And in terms of what gangs are involved, Bomb Squad?
We've got a mix. We've got some Bomb Squad. We've got some Peace Zones, and I think there's a couple others. And we're kind of on both ends of, so either victims or possible suspects.
Okay. Was Melvin Sanders a member of one of the gangs?
He is, I believe he's a member of Bomb Squad.
Mike, we thought we took out all the Bomb Squad people. Got them off, they're all in the court system, they're all there. I mean, is this just a new breed coming up, or they just escaped that first wave?
We took a number of Bomb Squad people down, but certainly not all of them. And certainly there's a faction of Bomb Squad that's still alive and well, and we're not done with them. We're going to continue to work them. Target Offender has been working Bomb Squad through the summer. In addition to Zone 4, they've been a focus as well. So they'll be participating in future events that are coming that are related to Target Offender and Don't Shoot.
I know you're planning another call-in. Does that speed up? Does all this from the last week or so, does that speed up that process now?
It won't speed it up. We're looking at probably a call-in in late October. We're going to be pursuing indictments on various gang members in October. We'll move to the next call-in, bring in another group of individuals, and follow the process again. We knew this was going to be a long fight, and it is going to be a long fight. This flare-up this last week is unfortunate, but it is part of what we have to deal with.
Chief, there were a lot of other shootings last few days as well. Pizza delivery guy got shot, people walking down the street, shot in the hip, other people getting shot. I mean, are they just not getting the message that you guys are serious about taking guns out of the street and don't shoot?
I think that's a fair statement. I think there are a number of people that are not getting the message, and maybe we just haven't reinforced it strongly enough yet. I think we've gone too long between call-ins, and this is something, again, we're new in this process, so we're going to be moving that pace up much quicker. And I anticipate we're going to go to a more scheduled format, meaning we may schedule three or four call-ins a year and schedule them ahead of time, anticipating that we'll have enough customers in the pipeline to make it work. This is just a call to make sure we're continue to be dedicated to what we're trying to do.
Is the perception that we're getting more shootings since we implemented Don't Shoot, or is it actually just the same number on track with last year's number of shootings and incidents?
I think this last week was an anomaly. I mean, it was a terribly busy week for us, and gun violence is still down this year compared to last year, but last year, and probably the last 3 years before this year, our spikes were summertime, and you know, we went to a task force to respond to those. This mid-September spike, I think, is a little different for us. I don't know if it's indicative of a large scale change in behavior, or is it coincidence? I don't know, but we're going to have a lot of extra resources out. We're going to be mobilizing extra uniform resources and putting them on the street for the near future, and focusing on the areas where the gun violence is taking place. And so those folks that are living in those communities that are probably a little more fearful than normal, you will be seeing more uniformed police officers on your streets.
Now, just something observation, some of these shootings that, you know, we go to get video of, not in your typical hotspot area. Does that speak about kind of growing pockets of danger in Peoria? I mean, some central Peoria that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be, you know, a double homicide or a shooting.
Well, a double homicide, for example, on Margaret, I don't think that case is indicative of the neighborhood having increased. It's going to sound weird, but it doesn't really say the neighborhood got more dangerous. It happened where it happened because of the individual who lives in that house, and it wasn't necessary. It's not street violence. There was a targeting of the people that lived in that house. So whether they lived there or they lived, you know, in Bartonville or East Peoria, whoever it was that decided they were going to target those two, they were going to go where they lived. And certainly I don't know that would settle my nerves if I lived on that street, because I would be concerned as well. But it isn't street violence. It was an intended victim and a targeted victim. But there's, you know, there are gang elements to much of this, like we said before, and you know, it's all the more reason we really have to continue to stress our focus on the gangs.
This looks a lot like Hatfield-McCoy kind of deal. These people know each other. So try to put the majority of the citizenry in Peoria's minds at rest.
I think it's following a similar pattern of, and something that we've talked about in the past, that you know, your likelihood of becoming a victim of violent crime is often dependent upon your associations, whether you're involved in criminality or you're involved with gangs, or it's the people you associate with are involved. It might be family members, it might be somebody in your household, but when you live or associate with people that are involved in that lifestyle, that raises the risk of you being targeted or you becoming a victim of some incident. It doesn't mean that everybody else is completely safe all the time, but your odds of being a victim of violent crime drop considerably if you're not involved in that sort of lifestyle or not associated with those who are.
Chief, as you guys crack down more and more, are you finding this is going to be a norm now? People are going to go to the other neighborhoods that they consider to be safe and bring their violence with them?
I don't know. I don't know what causes, let's say, Mr. Irby to move to Margaret, and I don't even know when he moved there, but I don't know if it was because we've targeted other neighborhoods. I wouldn't think so, but I just don't know his rationale for that.
All these folks, obviously well known by you guys, records, anything like that, I mean...
I'd say the majority of them are.
And indications that they would be involved in anything like this, involving guns, homicides?
Well, there are some that have consistent history with what we're seeing here. And I think to add what the chief said earlier is that to say it's we have gang members or gang-related aren't necessarily... they don't necessarily walk side by side. So it still leans back to what we're trying to get established here is the lifestyle and the choices that are made and the people that you're hanging out with. And we're trying to follow through with the consistency and credibility of if you do this, we're going to do this. And that's what this is what's being demonstrated here in this last week.
I think the average person doesn't settle minor disputes with gunplay. But when folks are involved in the dangerous drugs, gangs, et cetera, when they have these minor disputes in their lives that many of us sitting at this table may have experienced in our past, they turn to guns. They turn to violence as a result, and we end up with someone dead. The average person, like you or I, you'd settle your differences differently. You'd settle them in a more, you know, proper fashion. But the lifestyle leads to that kind of activity, and we've talked about this before too, that there's a code amongst on the street and amongst gang members and members of violent groups that this is how you settle these things. If you have a dispute, you have you think that you owe somebody payback for something, it may be settled with a gun, and sometimes you end up with a shot fired and a house struck or a car struck. Sometimes someone is shot and they survive it, and other times they don't.
Steve, do you think this is coming from local here, or is this outside influences, people coming down from Chicago or up from St. Louis?
I don't think, you can correct me, I don't think there's any evidence that there's any outside influences in these cases.
No, I don't believe so.
I think it's all local.
I see a couple clarifications on things. The suspect from Saturday night, Bob Stanley, who is in the hospital.
Yes.
Is that person technically under arrest, or are they just sort of being guarded? Because, I'm thinking of habeas corpus and that type of thing. It's probably been close to 48 hours now.
That's correct.
Just don't want to use the word arrest.
He hasn't been arrested. Right, that's
we
correct.
Protect them until... Right.
He's under guard. We know where he's at. And
understood. I just didn't want to say arrest.
Correct.
The cuffs hadn't been placed on him.
Correct.
No, that's a good point. And because he's not been formally arrested. He's not booked.
Not
yet.
Charged. Yeah. That's right.
Correct.
Okay. Secondly, obviously, I did, and I think everyone else did. When I saw the address of the shooting on Saturday night and saw that it was Melinda Smith's house and knew that her daughter was the one who was killed on Thursday, I sort of jumped to, what happened Saturday night is connected to what happened Thursday. Can you say whether there's a connection or whether it was sort of a coincidental thing that this person who was targeted happened to be at the house? Because I think there's probably a difference.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a family connection.
Sure.
I would not want to speculate as to if the incidents are related. I can't say that they are, and we can't say that they're not. But again, we have not had the opportunity to speak with that suspect yet.
Just to clarify, we don't have anything to say that there's a connection there other than the mother of the first victim. It's the home where the people were gathered. We don't have anything to indicate right now, unless we learn more, that shooting, though, had any relationship to the first shooting, if that makes sense.
They were family members, though, correct?
Yes.
We're being told that they're cousins.
Okay.
Kiamber and...
So that's really the only thing that's connecting them right now is just...
It's Kiamber's mother's house
right. Is
where this happened at. Right, and that's what I mean. We don't. It's dangerous for us to speculate
right.
on things like that
okay.
when we're investigating a case. And I know you guys have heard me say before, nothing's off the table. But and we'll look into everything. And as we speak to more people, hopefully that'll be either verified or ruled out, and we'll go from there.
Just switch gears for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
There was also an armed robbery on Friday involved a gun. Does that fall under? Don't shoot as well if you're using guns to rob banks? Or is that wholly different?
It's typically investigated by our CIA Criminal Investigations Division. And anytime a bank is robbed, they'll partner with the local FBI agents and work that.
It wouldn't be a target of don't shoot, though, unless we learn that it had some gang involvement.
Okay. And that's not to say, Doug, that if the guys needed help, we identified somebody that they wouldn't help out, obviously, but typically
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
Switching gears one more time, any new things on the Doc Holliday home invasion?
We're making some progress on that case. There's not much I can say about it officially, but we are making some progress on that case.
Are there outside agencies also participating in that one?
I probably can't comment on that. Yeah, I'm pleased with the progress we're making. I'm hopeful that we'll end up clearing that case. I don't know that for sure yet, but I'm hopeful.
Can you say if the suspects knew them personally or very well or...
No, I can't say.
Kind of a random question. Any truth that it is gang initiation month? Anything you can tie that, some of these things are happening?
Not from what we know of the cases we have. There doesn't appear to be any connection to a gang initiation month. And I didn't know it was gang initiation month.
I've heard some word
on
the street.
It's not on my calendar.
I wasn't sure if there is something like that.
And from people typically call and have information or have heard information, and when you have sources, we try to verify and look into and not take things seriously, but that has not come up at all.
Going back to the call-ins, were any of the people that involved in the shootings, suspects, victims, were they at any of the last call-ins?
I don't think so. I certainly don't want to guarantee you that. We can double check that and I get back to you, Doug, on that. I don't want to mislead you or say someone was or wasn't.
I don't think so. Yeah. Not to my knowledge, but I should check, make sure.
But you're still going to hold with the call-in in October rather than in mid-October rather than move it up any?
We want to work on the indictment phase first. The plan is that we will seek indictments, we will round up suspects, make arrests, and then move quickly into the call-in.
The thing about what's upcoming is that over the summer we had incidents, and we did some directed deterrence on gangs. Those cases we have in pocket that are made, and when we move on, there will be people that have already done their crime, they're going to be removed from the street. They may not know that we know yet. They might not know what's coming, but it's coming. So that is what we would like to have happen in conjunction with this next call. In the future, as the chief said, we're going to put it on a schedule, and we'll do them more frequently. And this has been a learning process for us, obviously, and it's been a learning process for the people that are causing us these headaches, obviously, also. But it's about the consistency and the credibility, and we're going to follow through with what we said we were going to do.
Just for clarification, a murder or a shooting incident doesn't necessarily prompt the call in. It may prompt our targeting of the next group or gang. So if we have a shooting, we determine that a particular gang is involved, we target that gang as our next operation or initiative, and then that's followed up by a call in and a refresh message to the other gangs in the city. It's kind of born out of a violent incident or a shooting, but call ins don't directly relate to or follow a murder case. It's the enforcement effort that grows out of a shooting case that ends up leading to a call in. It's kind of a subtle difference, but I don't know if that helps. And I don't mind saying, David Kennedy, the author of Don't Shoot, was here couple of weeks back, and we joined him in Bloomington. He gave a presentation to chiefs and state attorneys from around Illinois, and we had specific conversation with David while we had him in town, and kind of talked about the Peoria experience and where we are and where we think what our next steps are, and sought his advice, and through that conversation we've talked about moving to more of a scheduled call-in process. And getting it on the calendar ahead of time, and then not necessarily doing enforcement work at an expedited pace, because we've been doing enforcement work all through the year. It's the call-in process itself, and getting it on a calendar and moving it forward that way.
Clearly, the people who are communicating with guns right now didn't quite get the message last December.
No. No, and they may have heard it, but, you know, if it were that easy that you just send the message and everybody puts the guns down, there wouldn't be any gun violence or gang violence in America today. It's just not that easy. It's going to take repeated reinforcements. I think this next call-in is going to be another demonstration of what happens when law enforcement focuses on a particular group. And hopefully that starts to work its way out and work its way down into these groups again and get people to decide they're going to do something differently. Through this whole summer, we've had a number of young men still coming forward. They're still meeting with Krista Coleman and getting referred to services. And we have individuals that are taking classes and things. And so there's some successes there, or at least successes to this point. And we even know those are, you know, those sometimes can be fleeting.
To Doug's prior question, he was asking if anybody who'd been involved in previous call-ins were part of this latest round. Anybody who's been speaking with Krista, have their names popped up on the list?
Not to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. I think when we check, we'll check and make sure that's the case. But in all the briefings I've had, no one has said, you know, by the way, so-and-so was part of a call-in or so-and-so was meeting with Krista. I've not heard that. I haven't specifically asked that question, though, and I will. But I don't think so.
To reiterate, that will happen.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have that happen. People are going to, we're going to do, put our best foot forward and and do everything that we can. Again, it's the credibility, you know, and then it goes back to, you know, the consistency of, we can have a very nice period of time where we have nothing, and you have a crazy week, and all of a sudden we're here because of the actions of a few. But some of these people have demonstrated throughout their life they don't get it. Some of these people have been shot before or shot at before, and it's just trying to break that cycle is what we're trying to do here.
And it's, and we've made the analogy to, you know, addictions. An alcoholic can go through treatment and join AA, and 2 weeks later they fall off the wagon and are drinking again because of, you know, they get sucked back into it. And it's difficult to break these lifelong patterns. And we know the same thing is going to be true of these young men that we're reaching out to. Most of them will probably fail. And doesn't mean it's not still worthwhile to try, because some I think will succeed. But that, and just to kind of refresh too, the goal of Don't Shoot is not to the primary goal is not to take young men in a gang lifestyle, have them turn to something productive and live a productive life. That's an outcome that's part of the process that we like, but the primary goal is just to get them to put the guns down. That's our number one focus. Every young man that would come forward and say, I want to change my life, and we help them and they become a success story, that's wonderful. But we kind of say that's icing on the cake. The cake is that gun violence is stemmed, that young men stop shooting. That's a success. If all that happens is they put the guns down and the gun violence declines, that's a success. Every guy who comes forward and changes his life, that's wonderful. But that's not really how we measure success of what we're doing. It's going to be the gun violence itself.
Just to clarify, talking about having some extra resources, extra officers mm-hmm. out there, I mean, like I'm sure every department across the country faced with understaffed, people doing more, you know, having to work harder. Is that hard to be proactive when you always have to react? You know what I mean? I mean, are you finding yourself in a position where it's all you can do to get out there and get to the scene, but it's hard to, you know, have officers out there all the time in all these places that potential things could take place?
You know, you staff for the typical, and when you have an atypical period like this in a particular area, the resources that you've established in an area like that are not sufficient to handle when the brush fires come. So it's incumbent upon us then to shift resources and move more people there. We learned the last three summers through the task forces that for those periods of time, they are very effective at putting brush fires out. And we talked about it last year that we had hoped that Don't Shoot would be successful in eliminating the need to do that. And we've been fortunate. The summer actually was better than the last three summers, but this brush fire arrives in September. We have to respond to it. So while Target Offender Unit and Don't Shoot continues to do what they do on the targeted gangs, we still have to deal with what's happening today in those neighborhoods, and we know that can be calmed just by a lot of uniform presence. And so they can work in conjunction when necessary. So we're gonna put some overtime details out. We're gonna put some of the target offender officers out in those areas specifically. More uniform presence. Armadillo, I think, is at Arcadia and Thrush right now. And we're gonna do some other things that I won't say. But I think the folks in those areas are gonna see a lot more officers in the near future, starting now. And experience plays itself out like it has over the last several summers. It will get quiet in those areas, and we'll see what the future brings.
We hear it, and it's not. I don't think it's incorrect. You know, the odds of being a victim of violent crime are greatly increased depending on your lifestyle. What do you say today, though, to that Pizza Hut delivery driver who got shot, and the guy in Archer who was sitting in his living room and had a bullet graze his forehead?
When I say that it greatly increases your chances, it's true, but it doesn't mean that no one else can become the victim of a violent act. Sometimes that does happen, particularly in the certain lines of work. Pizza delivery folks have been you know, the victims of robberies, and they've seen guns before, and it's a tragedy, especially when someone who's not done anything to contribute to their own circumstances ends up the victim. But it is sometimes it does occur. It's, I think, the exception to the rule and not the rule, fortunately. But it does happen.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Our thanks also to WEEK-HOI reporter videographer team Alyssa Donovan and Doug Smith, WMBD-TV reporter and videographer Alexandra Suter and Scott Probst, Peoria Journal Star reporter Matt Budell, and 1470 WMBD Radio's Ed Hammond for allowing us to use the press interview. I'm Tanya Kuntz. This is Outside the Horseshoe on 89.9 WCBU Peoria Public Radio.